We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders, that's big time here in Phoenix, are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. Yep, that's right. Up to $10,000 in total prizes are up for grab each day. The best part, it is completely free-to-play. The DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from what team will hit the most three-pointers to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Everyone, Tim Kitzer here, the voice of NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcome to the Solar Panel. Tonight's matchup, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder. Ooh, boomer shakalaka. Ahoy, ahoy.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the farm. You know, Monty reminds his players, and it goes for us fans as well, not to get happy here. Stay hungry. Get better. Be better. Tonight, the Suns lost Game 3 to the Clippers. It was a physical game. Some calls didn't go the Suns' way. It's a good reminder that winning in the NBA is hard. And it's a good reminder not to get happy on the farm. Unfortunately, as I bring in the fellas, there will be no chugging tonight as the Suns ultimately lose to the Clippers by a 14-point margin, 106-92. Welcome, everybody, to the Suns Jam Session and Solar Panel Podcast. How are we doing tonight, gents?
Good.
Good.
I'm doing fine. I feel fine. We got the loss out of the way.
Yeah, it's out of the way. Part. Yeah. Time to make the adjustment.
With the fellas.
I'm sipping.
I'm nursing my injury and my beer or my soda, whatever I'm drinking. So.
You don't know what you're drinking?
It's a soda, I think. I don't know. It's a root beer. So technically, it's both then. Look. Yeah. You're 100% right. You don't get happy on the farm because when you do, you get slaughtered. Well, tonight you got slaughtered. All right, you're 9 straight wins. We knew they weren't gonna wind up winning out to win an NBA championship. This is the playoffs, and winning on the road is tough, no matter what. They still have. Everybody said if they come back up 3-1, it's a win. Well, guess what? They can still come back to Phoenix up 3-1 with a victory on Saturday. And if the Clippers' method for success is Devin Booker and CP3 shooting 10 of 40, that's not going to happen three more times in this series. It's just not. So if that's what it takes for the Clippers to get a victory like this, I don't think we're going to see it again.
I hope you're right, Greg. I hope you're right. I think you're right. I know you're right. You know, it's just it was a choppy
after
game
after a loss like that. Though,
it it always is, but I think Dave said the right thing. Let's get the loss out of the way. I didn't think we were going to sweep this team. I thought it would be the Suns in six, and I hope I'm wrong there. I hope it's the Suns in five. But at the same time, like, you got to remember, after all of the hype, after all of the positive, amazing things that have been said about the Phoenix Suns for the past week, you know, Kobe Bryant is Devin Booker, you know, and, you know, everybody is you know, DeAndre Ayton's now Hakeem Olajuwon, and, you know, everybody is so far up the Suns' ass right now, as well they should be, you know, relative to the fact that they are playing at an elite level. But we are still a basketball team that has potential to create errors. You know, Matthew, what was I telling you before this game? I'm like, the Suns will lose if the guard play is less than optimal. It's something that I feared coming into this series, was knowing that the Clippers are better perimeter defenders and like to fuck with our guards more than the Jazz would have. So you saw that tonight. The game plan that Ty Lue implemented, coupled with, you know, some refereeing that was allowing some physicality on one side of the ball and not necessarily the other.
Included, you know, the referees being part of the game plan.
That's what it felt like, though.
I didn't know you told me that, Don. I thought you were just talking about the shirts and how much you sold your shirts. That's what you're talking about before the game.
No, we were talking about Elmer's Burritos.
Elmer's Burritos.
You know,
the Suns didn't lose because of the refs, though. They let the refs get into their heads, but the Suns didn't lose because of the refs. No. They lost because the Clippers had all the energy, had all the momentum. Guess what? They were playing like a desperate team. Now, you could look at this two ways. You can look at it like the Suns are 0.2 of a second away from being down 2-1 in this series. Mm-hmm. Or you can look at it in the way of the Suns had to lose a game. It was not going to be two straight series sweeps to make it to the finals. One of those things is, they're both probably true, but one of those things is more true than the other. And I think it's that the Suns were bound to have a loss. Devin Booker, you know, when you got a broken nose and you go out there and you try to play and this guy's still swiping at your face and you're getting hit all the time, it's going to hurt and you're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose your depth perception a little bit. Chris Paul looked like Jesus. He looked like I felt after getting COVID in January. I mean, Chris Paul, yeah, he may not have had any symptoms. He may have tested fine, may not have had a fever and all that. But that dude did not have the same energy in his body as he's had in prior games. And maybe that was just because he wasn't making his shots, but I really felt like he was low on energy in this game.
Look, anybody that's sick at any point, you know, even though he was supposedly asymptomatic, his body was still fighting something off. So the fact that, you know, and he sat for 11 days. So, like, I just, people ripping on him, oh, well, it must be.
He didn't totally sit. He was on TikTok.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. He danced with his kids. You know, but look. There's going to be rust. I'm not concerned about Chris Paul. We know what Chris Paul can do. I'm not overly concerned about what went on with him. We expected that, you know, that Booker may have some issues with that nose. The thing that concerns me most is Patrick Beverley in general right now. Mm-hmm. The guy is an irritant, right? And they need to find a way to stick it back to him. And they need to find a way to stop the chirping a little bit. And they didn't tonight. Mm-hmm. And I said it earlier today when Saul and I were talking with Eddie Johnson. And you know, I said it a couple times. You can't give this Clippers team irrational confidence. That's my biggest concern about tonight, is now that this Clippers team can go get in their own heads going, oh, we've done this before. We can do it again now. Look, we proved it in game three, and the Suns can't let that continue. They have to make a statement in Saturday. Even if they lose, it has to be close. They can't give the Clippers another game like tonight. That's when there could be a sign of trouble.
Well, welcome everybody to the Suns champ session. Welcome, Saul.
I want to see happy Saul.
Yeah, I don't see happy Saul. I don't see happy Saul right now. How you doing, bud?
You know, I think Espo had said it on Twitter, you know, this is eerily reminiscent of several Suns games that they had lost earlier this year, mm-hmm. Which is kind of disappointing. I think I'm more disappointed in tonight, not in terms of the result, but just, I mean, the first half was ugly for both teams. It was not pretty. And it just looked like the Suns could not get their footing whatsoever until about midway through that second quarter. They build up a lead, and then they kind of gave it right back, only up by two at half. And my biggest takeaway from this game is exactly what the Clippers said. The Clippers said, we've been down 0-2 before, not a big deal. We're still just as confident as ever. And they came out and they proved it. And until the Suns prove them wrong, or any team in the NBA proves them wrong and eliminates them somehow, they're still going to feel that confidence all the way till game seven. And so if you're the Suns, I'm sorry, but game four is a must win. Like, it's a must win. And Espo's going to sit there and squint in his face and all this other BS. I don't care.
Yes, let's go.
I don't care. If you go down 0-2 and then you bounce back and you tie this series up, you're just like the Utah series.
No, this is not exactly
what happened. And everybody was talking about, well, they didn't win game three without Kawhi. And the Suns got Chris Paul back. But guess what, guys? They still did it. They still beat the Suns with Chris Paul back. Chris Paul played like he still had COVID.
Chris Paul's not going to play like that.
Devin Booker has a broken nose. Hey, guys, I don't care. We can make all the excuses we want. I'm just telling you that the Clippers have this false confidence, quote unquote, which I believe is actual confidence. I don't think it's false confidence. They've done it before. So what makes them think that they're not going to do it again? I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
Let's all breathe.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Let's all crack open a beer.
I'm scared, John.
Let's just relax. I think
the sky just hit me.
It's okay. It's okay.
The Suns are going to win the series. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Everything's going to be okay, everybody.
Saturday's a must win.
The sky down like Patrick Beverly on Devin Booker.
Listen, I've got a little song for you guys, okay? I'm going to sing a little song to settle everybody down to remind you that this was just one of them days.
It's just one of them days when I want to be all alone. It's just one of them days when I gotta be all alone. It's just one of them days.
Listen, guys. To think things through.
John,
my
now
heart's
we're
in misery.
We're not gonna get paid now, man, for this YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
I do. The Suns lost, and now we're not gonna get money.
I guarantee you, Facebook just stopped. I promise you that.
Lissy, you weren't earning the money anyways.
Hey, I was out there earning, dude. It's called the Big Brother program. That's what I'm with John.
You gotta take that Invisalign out to earn that money. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, let's kind of start at the beginning of this game and walk our way through it. You know, I think that. Well, yeah, we do. That's what we do. We analyze. We try to seek adjustments. For me, it was a weird vibe at the Staples Center, a late arriving crowd, which LA is notorious for. They're doing kind of some of the camera shots of the crowd, and you can see a bunch of the seats are just empty, and it's like halfway through the first quarter. But still, you see Booker in a mask, which let's talk about Booker's mask. Should he have gone with an all-black carbon fiber mask? Or
I don't think they can anymore.
Is it legal to wear a Batman mask? Because that would have been pretty cool, right?
I don't think they can wear anything but clear masks now.
Somebody tried to make them wear a black one. Yeah,
so much opportunity there for marketing. You could put the PayPal logo maybe on it and everything. Like make a couple extra Nike on the side. I don't care. But it was a weird vibe in there. You had Booker and Paul both started 0-for-9 from the field, and then you had 7 fouls in the first quarter and 3 turnovers in the first quarter. I mean, from the get-go, you could see that this team was out of sync. The way that Chris Paul, you know, Dave said it, and I agree 100%. You could tell this is a guy who one hasn't played in 11 days, and two is coming off of COVID. He seemed fatigued. He was taking that pace that the Suns have played with throughout the playoffs and slowed it way down. I'm talking like Ricky Rubio bringing it up the court down, where you're like, dude, get across the court, you know, before you hit 15 seconds, you know? And you're seeing the Los Angeles Clippers pushing the ball, pushing the pace, trying to get their team in rhythm and passing the ball around. And the Suns were really dedicated to just simply running half court offensive sets tonight. And you couple that with the fact that they weren't shooting the ball effectively. And again, the Clippers weren't necessarily either, but there was no sense of urgency in this game. And I hate that term. And I know a lot of people do must win game. Every game in the playoffs is a must win, you know, but this is one of those games where, I mean, you could really, as we were talking about Espo on our last pod, you could be the one who knocks. You could be the one who takes your foot and put it on their throat. And it was more of a reacclimation of Chris Paul into this offense. And what really hurt the Suns is the fact that Campaign went down with that sprained ankle, because you saw when he first came in, he played 4 minutes tonight. He played with pace. He attacked the interior. He did what Campaign does. Not having that moving forward could be problematic for the Suns.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to talk adjustments. How'd they win the first two games? They played a fast pace because that's the way Campaign plays. Tonight, they played that slower pace that Chris Paul is used to, and it didn't seem to work against the Clippers. Now,
wait.
When they can't shoot, that doesn't help. You know,
yeah, but, okay. This let's not get ourselves into such a rut that we believe that the Suns were better with Campaign. Chris Paul played terrible. That's what happened.
Correct.
I love that we're saying he played terrible, and he still had 15 points and 12 assists.
He played terrible.
which is exactly what I think that's exactly what Michael Wilbon said before the game, that he was going to have 15 and 12, and he exactly had 15.
He said that before the game. He called it.
No, that's Chris Paul. Look, he played bad. I don't care what anybody. If you're just going to look at the box score, go right ahead. I watched the game. I was watching Chris Paul. The dude had no life in his eyes. He was moving real slow. He hands on his knees. Look, how many times did he just hold the ball out past the 3-point line, and then wait for the shot clock to wind down, and then try to do a sidestep three? I mean, Chris Paul doesn't do that. We haven't been watching that all series. So, no, this was not the Chris Paul that is going to win a game. Yes, Campaign played great in those first two games, but I'm not going to sit here and think, God, I hope Campaign comes back and Chris Paul sits. I'm not going to
That wasn't what I was saying.
No, like, we're just
exactly
saying that
what you were saying.
Having Campaign available to come in and spell Chris Paul has been effective all year long because he changes the speed of the offense. He attacks the rim. And, you know, that's always the difference. The problem with the 7 seconds or less teams was they wanted to have a distributor coming in off the bench, and they had Barbosa, and Mike D'Antoni didn't know how to make those correct adjustments because he wanted him to try to distribute. This team embraces the fact that Campaign is who he is. He attacks the rim. He's not a primary distributor, but he can when he kicks out to the perimeter. And not having that moving forward, you know, Etuan Moore can attack, but he's not as effective. He's not as quick. He doesn't have the hesitation. So it's going to be really interesting to see how bad that sprained ankle is because of what it does for our sustained offense coming in from that second team.
I would like to see, I mean, everybody's been clamoring for this for a little while, but I would love to see some Javon Carter, please.
Yes.
Please. I mean, I don't know what is going on, why JC isn't getting in there. You know, he's a bulldog just like Pat Beverly. I would love to see Javon Carter on Pat Beverly. Let's go.
Yes.
But also, the main thing that I'm concerned about, and don't everybody panic when I say this. I don't mean this guy's like falling off the face of the earth. I'm just saying, like, two games in a row, Pat Bev has gotten to Booker. Like, correct. We can't deny that, right? He has 40 points in game one, 18 in game two, and 15 tonight. How is that deniable?
He got to him by breaking his nose.
Okay.
That's what's the difference here. Okay. It's not like his defense.
His nose is still going to be broken in game four, so I don't give a shit. He's still got to play better.
Well, and he's blocking his shots, too. I mean, multiple times he's gone and he's blocked his shot. That has nothing to do with a broken nose. Yeah, he's ripping him all the time. He's getting into his head. He's pressing him up at half court. He's doing those things that are going to take Book out of his game like Matisse Thybulle have. The adjustment needs – Devin Booker needs to figure out how to not allow Patrick Beverly to constantly slap the ball out of him when he's going, you know, with a left-hand layup or trying to create a jump shot. He's continually –
He's being a pest.
He's filling his role.
And he's doing it exactly to a T, exactly what the Clippers need. So Devin Booker's got to figure a way around that in game four. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
He usually does, though. It's funny because Al McCoy was talking about before the game last game. He's like, if Pat Bev can do what he does and get annoying to Booker, I mean, it's going to be a problem. But honestly, I don't think he ever has. I think Booker has always one-upped them every game. I don't think Pat Bev has ever gone the distance every game to get under Booker's skin, but it has happened. But a lot of that is his nose is broken. I mean, underneath that mask must be so fucking irritating. The way him and Chris Paul walked off the court today, it just looked like it was like, you know, it's just one of those games. Let's just get it over with. Chris Paul's face, because obviously maybe he was sick, but he just seemed like, you know what, this is not going our way. And usually it's like the first half, if they don't have any energy, they'll come back out the next half and they'll have that. They'll have a game plan, something, but it wasn't there either. Even early in the third quarter, the hustle wasn't there. The only guy out there with hustle was Campaign. He got hurt. And then Cameron Johnson, he played 30 minutes tonight. Cameron Johnson was the only one out there that looked like he wanted to do anything. So the energy thing is there. They just have it. Terrence Mann, Patrick Beverley, those are two guys that I'm like, I'm scared when they have the ball offensively, and then whatever they're doing defensively, they irritate these guys because they're having their way right now with the Suns. And I'm looking forward to the adjustments. I know they're going to be there for these two dudes.
Did Cameron Johnson, would you say, Matthew, is he making the right decisions?
He is. And John, I took that note. How many times did I take that note? Twice?
Yeah, you kept taking that note during the game. All during the game.
He's doing better than Mikal Bridges right now. Is hitting some big shots, but Cameron Johns is really stepping up in a big way. For sure.
And you have in the chat, ain't no one better. Threw down $5 in the super chat. We appreciate that. Anybody who is watching along live, you can hit us up in the super chat. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. He goes, how are CP, Book, and Payne going to get better with one day off? And you know what? That's the story of the playoffs right now. That's everybody.
Yeah. Every game.
Every team is facing that right now.
I mean, how did they get mad with one day? How did they get so bad in one day?
That's what I thought was happening to the Clippers in the second quarter. It just looked like they were starting to just get tired. And I was like, oh, okay, well, the Suns are going to blow them out maybe. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I'm still kind of confounded by this game. I thought the Suns were going to find a way. Down the stretch when they were making their run, I was like, oh, man, we're just going to laugh at this post game about, man, the Clippers had every chance in the world to win this game and they blew it. And then it didn't happen.
And what's interesting about this game that I find is how effective Zubac was. I mean, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 9 for 10 from the free throw line. And I think that's really what kind of set that tone in that first quarter was Mikal Bridges getting those two early fouls, Zubac getting to the line. And, you know, the whole team was essentially in foul trouble after that. Jay Crowder fouls out. Apparently, you can't, if you get elbowed in the face, it's not a foul. But if you lightly push somebody when they run into you, it's a foul on you. And, you know, again, I think that's what a lot of Suns fans are going to look at. This was, as I was going through my Twitter feed, looking at my Facebook feed, checking out my MySpace page, everybody was really talking about how it felt pretty one-sided. And I know that's what happens, especially in the playoffs, when you're the recipient of that. I think if you ask a lot of Denver fans, they would say the same, that there was some games that felt one-sided officiated. But here's the difference is it was from a physicality standpoint. A lot of the things that the Clippers were doing were physical and they were getting away with, and the Suns were getting called with, I feel, were quite a few tic-tac fouls. Am I the only one who feels that? And okay, good.
That's home cooking, though.
It shouldn't be, though.
It shouldn't be, but that's the reality of the NBA. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. I mean, so that doesn't surprise me. The Clippers are at home. They get some calls, right? The Suns aren't going to shoot 38% again from the field. This is a carbon copy of the games that they lost in the regular season.
Yeah.
When their shots don't fall, there's no amount of defense that's going to dig you out of that hole. And they could not shoot tonight. Devin Booker couldn't. CP3 couldn't. You know, everybody outside of of Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges just struggled immensely tonight from the field. That's problematic, right? But it doesn't happen on a regular basis. This is that one out of 5 or 10 games that this team has, and they're more the team we saw in that 9-game run than the one game we saw here. This is the Clippers coming home and doing what they were supposed to do. Win a game at home. The Suns took care of the two in Phoenix. The Clippers got a win on their home court. If the Suns steal one on Saturday, if they come in and take care of business, everybody's saying, oh, well, it's over again. Everybody shifts back to that. This The Suns have home court. They still have home court. They'll still have home court if they lose on Saturday. That's the key here.
What about all that officiating exactly. in game two, though? I mean, I felt that, you know, we talked about the Scott Foster game and it happened to go in our favor, but, you know, home cooking, you know, I don't know how much we got.
Scott Foster, it doesn't matter where you're playing. He's going to find a way to screw a CP3 team. So that's a given.
What about? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, so not everyone speak up at once. Everyone's just like, this podcast feels like that game. This is disjointed.
It's very disjointed, like, right now.
I'm going to go foul Matthew. and it'll be on him.
Come in here?
Yeah, I'm gonna knock one of those Invisalign off of your forehead.
I'll probably take it too, dude.
Look, what happened in this game is that Devin Booker got two early fouls. He was already going to be hamstrung with his nose and with Patrick Beverley. And he got two fouls, so he had to take away all of his aggressiveness. He couldn't drive in. He couldn't do really anything he really wanted to do in the game. Mikal Bridges, if we remember, had got two fouls within the first couple of minutes and had to sit down.
A minute and 40 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. Two fouls. Already had to sit down, so the rotations were messed up that way. I really do think that Chris Paul is going to come in a lot with a lot more fire on Saturday. I think Mikal Bridges just needs to stay out of foul trouble. You know, we were worried about DeAndre Ayton all year with foul trouble and worried that, if he gets early fouls, he's mentally out of it, blah, blah, blah. The guy who really has a reputation for being completely mentally out of a game after getting early fouls is Mikal Bridges. That dude, he needs to be able to get over foul trouble early in a game. It drives me nuts. He missed so many good threes where they were just whipping the ball around, and he had a nice open shot where he's supposed to be able to make them. He makes 50% on the season. He missed about 5,000% tonight because he got those early fouls, and he's like nothing like himself anymore. We need Mikal Bridges to be the guy that everyone thought maybe was the third best player on the team this year. Mikal Bridges is playing like the seventh or eighth best player. He's got to play better. You need Devin Booker to make his shots. I feel bad for him. I mean, if I had a broken nose and I was wearing a mask and breathing into that, we've worn masks for a year. We know it sucks to breathe into something on your face. How the hell are we going to make shots in a basketball game? I mean, come on.
There's holes in the game.
It's going to be okay. Oh, yeah.
His mask is the reverse of what we wore.
So he said pregame, it's okay. He's got that mask on his face, but there's holes.
If I wear Devin Booker's mask, I guarantee you I get COVID. I
know, right? So it's just crazy. And then Chris Paul, he's going to get his energy back every day. I think his shot was off, but he was mentally off. He's got to come back. And I feel like Chris Paul, if anybody in this league is going to come back from having a bad day, it's going to be Chris Paul. The team is going to be focused. The guy who did play well was DeAndre Ayton. The problem was the Clippers started sinking down and doing triple teams and rolling, you know, sinking deep, leaving it up to the guards to score. And the Suns guards couldn't score because Pat Bev and Terrence Mann and Reggie Jackson, all those guys were locking up somehow Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And so then the rest of the defense sunk down. And every time there was a potential for a lob or a pass into DA that's been open all playoffs because those guys are making their shots, suddenly now DA is back to the regular season where he's getting triple teamed on any roll. So it was tough for DA in there. He was the only one fighting for rebounds most of the time. He played real well. Cam Johnson played real well. We need campaign to get back. But you know what? If you can win two games without Chris Paul, you don't need campaign for a win. You need Chris Paul for a win. You need Chris Paul to show up. You need Devin Booker to show up, and I really think they will. If you guys remember against the Lakers, Devin Booker got under 20 points two straight games. Guess which games those were? Game two?
Two and three.
Game three. Yep. Guess what he did in the game after that? And then the game after that, he had 47 points in the deciding game five. He had a great game in game four. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the best.
I already shot my wad before she said it.
His stat was Mikal Bridges 5,000%.
5,000%.
I didn't realize
5,000% of his shots.
I didn't realize 2 of 5 from three was missing 5,000.
It felt like 5,000.
Or 5 of 8 from the field overall.
Again, Espo.
I'm sorry, Matthew. I cut you off. Please, no worries, please go ahead.
Hey, we're not getting paid for this.
Yeah,
I can give a shit. No, I don't even know what I was gonna say, dude. Honestly, Aiden
stays up there on YouTube after playing music.
If yeah, okay. So I like how Dave broke that down because I was thinking when Chris Paul and Booker are having a hard time scoring, you know, give the ball to Aiden, but he scored 10 points in the first quarter, so it's like give him the ball, and they were doing the triple team stuff, but find a way to give him the ball because he needed it. He was the only guy doing anything down there. Zubac, whatever, however you pronounce his name, he is just so disrespected down there by the refs, where I feel like anybody can get the rebound over him, put it back, and it'll be a foul, but they don't call it on Zubac. So I thought they should have just abused that guy for a while in the first half. I know they hung in there, but even the energy, though, Aiden had in the second half coming out, it was kind of slow. But I don't even know what else I was going to say.
I'm sorry. I always you want to know what goes through Matthew's head whenever I do
Fuck.
Exactly. Honestly, when I feel when I'm looking at the big screen, I'm thinking about Dave, how he said I look fat. So now I'm just getting insecure.
Oh my god.
I missed that one.
Yeah,
just look full. That's all, your cheeks are
just full. I look like a chipmunk. Thanks, dude. Like,
poofy. We officially are glowing. Suns in the third.
Should we
quarter,
say glowing?
Right?
We'll say glowing.
Oh my god,
glowing
gosh,
with
yeah,
all the. With
this
all
is going. Those, this is definitely going off the rails, like the Suns in the third quarter for sure.
Yeah. Aiden Watch 2021. Well, let's talk about a little DeAndre Ayton there. I think Dave made a very astute observation on what the Clippers were doing because the guards weren't hitting their middies. I mean, they were there. You could see that Devin Booker was definitely affected by that mask. He had quite a few of wide open mid-range shots, and they just weren't falling down. A lot of the shots weren't falling down. As Espo mentioned, when you look at the overall statistics, the Suns ended shooting a total of 38.9% and 31% from three. So when that happens, it allows the defense to cheat in. And DeAndre Ayton, kudos to him again. You know, another solid performance. 18 points, had the 9 rebounds on 9 of 13 shooting. He was the offensive force in that first half. And, you know, he had 10 points in the first quarter and then no shot attempts in the second quarter. And then nothing in the third and like a little bit in the fourth. It's just, it's frustrating when they're not feeding him as much as they are. And I get it. I get it. You know, to Dave's point, if you're going to shoot the way that you are, you don't need to. You can let them stand out there and just miss the shots. You can come inside. But what was missing in this game, and again, why I think that something is wrong with Chris Paul, obviously, coming back first game and everything we mentioned, but something that needs to be exploited and an adjustment that needs to be made, is they were running no high pick and roll with Ayton. They weren't running any of it. And that's where CP can start to cook and where he can get Ayton involved when he is feasting like he was. I mean, Zubac had a great game, but Ayton was really owning him. And they just didn't feed him, man. And that's frustrating.
Well, I really think that was the defense, though. I think when the guys are rolling with Ayton going to the rim and kind of sucking down on him, Chris Paul was killing them. Remember, he had that 37 points to close out the Nuggets. That was because the Nuggets decided Ayton was going to stop killing them. So Chris Paul made all the shots. Devin Booker has to be able to make shots. But those guys were passing up shots left and right. I know they took 40 between them. But it's amazing how many they passed up on that they could have taken. They could have taken 60 between them if they wanted to. That means the Clippers were giving them shots. The Clippers were daring them to shoot. And they were trusting. And that daring two All-Stars to shoot the ball should go against the Clippers and won't be on their side two games in a row. I'm not worried about this.
But yeah, I mean, you were talking about the high pick and roll. CP3 got that several times. It's just, we got to give credit to Zubac. He's got a long wingspan, and he makes it a little bit more difficult to shoot over than your normal kind of pick and roll defender, right? He's been doing a good job for the Clippers since he's been getting more run. Like, even in game two, he had his moments, and he did tonight again. Like, we can't take that away from what he did. However, Chris Paul was off. Like, I think that's the key here, is that Chris Paul just wasn't Chris Paul. Devin Booker wasn't Devin Booker. Devin Booker looked like he was speeding himself up too much on his shots. He wasn't getting the lift that he was getting, you know, in game one specifically. And even in game two, when they were measuring him coming off of a pick and hitting that jumper to put the Suns up by one with less than 30 seconds left, like, it just looks like he's too flat.
The shots were line drives. They even pointed it out on one of the shots that he made. It was like straight into the back of the rim.
Kawhi Leonard
into the basket. Shot. Yeah, very, very Kawhi
shot.
Leonard, right?
Kawhi Leonard so, shot. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, Booker's rhythm is off, and that's where the greatness of Devin Booker will come into play here, I hope, in game 4 and 5, is that he's going to figure out Pat Bev's rhythm. And he's herky-jerky. He's a tough defender for a reason. One of the best defenders in the NBA. Like, you can't take that away from him. But Devin Booker will figure it out at some point. I'm confident of that. It just, you know, everybody else needs to come along too. And I think Chris Paul also, when he left, DeAndre Ayton was having a good playoff. Let's not get that twisted. However, he wasn't as offensively dominant as he was like in game 2, right? And so there's a little bit of adjustment there for CP3 to understand, like, I can give it to DA a little bit more than I am. And I think everybody on the team needs to understand that, because DA needs the ball far more than he's getting it.
Look, in game 4, I want to see them set the tone early on Pat Beverly. Hard picks.
Yep.
Don't let that guy get in a comfortable rhythm on the defensive end. Get him to start jawing and rattle him in that way. I think you can what they did not do tonight, that they've done so well throughout the playoffs and in the regular season, was they dictated the tone. They dictated the physicality. They didn't do that tonight. They were back on their heels. They let the Clippers be the one that dictated those things. They need to do that early in game 4 to make it very clear they're not going to put up with it. And the Clippers are not going to hit as many contested threes as they did tonight. There were so many times that they had a hand in their face. I mean, Marcus Morris, he had a few of those.
Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. It's just they're not going. Luke Kennard did too. They're not going to hit those. The Suns aren't going to miss as many.
Look, the Clippers are the best 3-point shooting team in the league. You have to allow for them to make so many 3-point shots. What you got to do is you got to limit the shots at the rim. And when they're, you know, tonight, obviously, look, the other thing we haven't even brought up yet, and you brought it up a little bit, Saul, on Zubac being a better player than we probably want to give him credit for. But man, in that first quarter, that was his job. His job was to be physical. His job was to get every rebound and score inside every time he got. He got like 7 free throws and 8 rebounds or something in the first quarter alone. That set the tone that the Clippers just rode out for the rest of the game in physicality. And because that also gets in the refs' heads, the refs see, oh, this is the more physical team. We all know this. We all know the more physical, the more hit you first team gets the fewer foul calls. It just happens. That's the way the refs go. That's the way it is. And the team that is reactionary on the hits get the fouls called against them. So and Zubac set that tone real early. Ayton can come out, and while he was really good in this game, he wasn't physical and knocking Zubac off. And I think he can do that a little bit better in the next game as well. But I really do, and Saul, you mentioned it earlier, Javon Carter's got to see some time. I feel like, how can Javon Carter not have gotten time tonight? Seriously. That was crazy that he didn't get any time tonight until mop-up time.
The other thing, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say, you would think it would have been the last game, because a lot of people from Twitter, usually like when everyone wants Javon Carter to come back, I feel like he does play the next game, and he just didn't in game 2. I expected him tonight, honestly, but next game for sure, right? He has to come back.
Dude, I wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was the adjustment that the Suns should make when Pat Bev is out there, to try to create some, and Reggie Jackson too. Like, when Etuan Moore and Cam Payne are your two guards, I feel like you got to get Javon Carter out there because of his defensive prowess, because of his ability to pick guys up half court, because of his ability to pester and be our version of Pat Beverly, although he doesn't, you know, nearly flop as much. You know, so I'm surprised that he hasn't had an opportunity to play.
But in a game like this tonight specifically, you needed a guy like Javon Carter to get in there and spark this team somehow, some way. Typical of what Cam Payne had been doing off the bench. But then Cam Payne gets hurt. Etuan Moore just doesn't have that juice to get these guys really rolling. So Javon Carter can be that pest for you and get up in guys' face and get this team sparked somehow, some way, especially when he knows he's only playing a couple minutes. Like, I think that – and the other thing is that what the Suns have missed desperately in these last two games is just a tone setter – or not a tone setter, but a pacemaker, right? Somebody that's always going to hit that shot when you need it the most, you know, just to kind of keep the rhythm of the offense going, right? They haven't had that these last two games. These last two games have been so herky-jerky, you know, one team's up by 6, then they're down by 6, and it's just kind of back and forth, and there's no rhythm to these games, and that's where you miss the Devin Booker consistency or the Chris Paul consistency.
The Chris Paul consistency.
And I think when they come, when that starts to come back, game over.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it because of that. I mean, Chris Paul, good Lord. Look, it's almost like, Saul, and you were leading to it without actually saying it out loud until the end. It's almost like they need Chris Paul running this offense, the real Chris Paul, the one who makes the shots and settles the team down. We all wanted it in the first couple of games and got lucky on the wins anyway. Chris Paul comes back tonight. He plays like, you know, Tyler Ulis a little bit. And that's
like Cliff Paul.
It's a Cliff Paul, and it's tough to watch. I mean, yeah. He had the nice box score, Espo, but he didn't look good on the court. He needs to come back and have a really good Chris Paul impact game. You're not going to win in the playoffs unless your best players play really great. Mm-hmm. And Paul George played really great for the Clippers. But that's what happened. That's what happened in the first round. Devin Booker, 47 points in game five, really set the tone. And to set the tone in that Lakers series. Then Chris Paul, 37 points in game four to close out the Denver Nuggets when they were desperate for a win. That's what you need, and that's what the Suns are going to have to get. Man, I tell you what, if Devin Booker and Chris Paul go 10 for 40 on Saturday, it's going to be a 2-2 tie. That's it.
Yeah, that's not saying much. I'll buy you dinner if Chris Paul and Devin Booker go 10 for 40 in any game in the rest of this series.
I'm recording 10 for 40
is not happening again.
Say it again. Right. You're going to buy me dinner.
I will buy you dinner if they go 10 for 40 again in this series. I may take you out for a nightcap after that, too. All right?
Nightcap?
Yeah, that's how
I feel. The little panel.
Well, imagine me and Espo doing a nightcap.
Hey, it'll be wild. Yeah. Look. This I can record
after the Taco Bell dinner.
I can record. Dave was like, I'm going to record this.
As if this isn't already recorded.
No, I want it because then I don't know how to clip sound out of video, so I needed to record it independently, just like I'm doing an interview of a player.
This
go to get a little stat me after hours.
Stat me later, baby.
This game reminds me of Game 3 of the Lakers series.
True.
Suns didn't shoot well. It was ugly. Yeah. The Lakers pulled the little shimmy, shake, salsa dance, all that crap. You had Paul George, after he hits that stupid half-court shot, as if it was some skill, kissing to the fan base. The Suns remember that.
He was kissing to his hot-ass wife. That's what he was doing.
Look, Jay Crowder remembers that, right?
I'd have blown some kisses that way, too.
Those kisses were to Kawhi, right?
Yeah, those were to Kawhi. What was Kawhi was doing all the way up in the suites?
Because he's got a torn ACL. You don't want him on the bench.
Yeah.
They don't have a bench anymore. They have luxury
He's
injured. He's injured so bad, I feel like, that they don't want to see him walking with a slight limp.
They just want all those kids climbing over him the whole time.
In the camera, you know? And when they were celebrating after their Game 6 win,
he was doing the work.
Did Kawhi get off his chair to celebrate?
No.
He just sat there and he goes,
"Yep."
That's how he celebrates, though. I think
that is how he celebrates.
Little golf laps.
But he would have gotten off his chair if he had a knee left. I don't think he has any knee left.
But he's probably like, "You idiots, we're still down 0-2. Finish the fucking game." That's probably what he's telling them.
I'm just saying that's why Paul George have counted.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. They didn't start the clock, right?
Yeah, they didn't start the clock.
I stopped it, rewound it, and like showed everybody who was here, Matthew and like my nephew, and I'm like, they didn't stop. They didn't start the clock. He got two dribbles and a shot half court. That in 1 second? Come on, man.
1.1 second.
We were watching it, and it was correct. I'm sorry. What's fun about these games is we can just
this motherfucker.
He didn't start the clock because he didn't.
Are you going
it.
To?
No, I thought the clock started on time, so. I would watch the replay.
Well, then maybe
I was like,
you and Lissy can have a go out on a dinner date too. You know,
I'll free any night. There's not a Suns game. I'm free.
Yeah, well, no nightcap for you though, Lissy. Just for
my mom. No. Can my mom come? She can just drop us. She can just wait outside.
Can my mom come?
Is she high?
Can we meet at the mall? Keep the Vic running. Let's meet at the mall.
She's right around Dave's age. You know, it could be romance in the making.
Hey, yeah.
Mrs. Lissy is always welcome. All right. She can have her as a guest on one of these post games. It's fine.
What the hell is going on in this show tonight?
We just lost her host.
So, she'll come on. Like, she'll come
mom's a goddamn
Matthew.
Angel.
We drove this car off the rails, and John just said, "Screw it, I'm out." Yeah. Espo can handle these guys.
That's how bad
it's
that
usually
was.
Usually John's mom. We make.
I mean, if we
that.
Go to pick her up and it's like some sea donkey that just shows up, man, I'm out.
Sea donkey.
You speak kindly of Mrs. Lissy. All right.
I wanted to say that she's good looking. That's all. Defend your mom, dude.
She didn't have a choice to be Mrs. Lissy and have me as a kid. All right. So just think about that.
They were downhill now.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're talking
so
about.
So as we look at game four adjustments, you know, one of the things that Espo mentioned is the fact that we need to try to set the tone with Patrick Beverley. I think one of the challenges with that is the way that he foul baits. So if we try to set the tone, we sell those hard picks. If he's flopping all over the place and getting fouls on us, you know, we're not doing moving screens, but he still makes it appear to be a moving screen. That's one of those fine line adjustments as you move forward.
Suns can do a lot more screens to get Patrick Beverley off of the guy they don't want him on. I mean, that's just it. What they weren't doing is setting hard screens. Booker was going out real wide around Ayton screens and charge of screens. They can do a lot more. They can have guards screening for each other. They can have Cam Johnson coming out and screening. They can have Mikal Bridges coming out and screening to force the switch. You got to force the switches. And if they're going to fight through the switches, you got to shoot over top of it. So it's just or get the foul as he's fighting through like everybody does against the Suns. So they can get over on Patrick Beverley by being more physical, and they haven't been.
Look, just you just need a hard screen from DA. I don't want Jay Crowder doing anything. He's too close to that technical line.
Yes.
If he wasn't, I'd say let Jay go take care of this. But, you know,
no, I just mean hard, honest fouls. Not hard, honest picks. Not even hard, honest fouls. Just
I
hard picks.
The way Patrick Beverley reacts to everything.
Yes.
As if he's trying out for some daytime soap in L.A. Like, I don't want Jay Crowder to be the guy to set that tough pick. And then have the master foul baiter in Patrick Beverley get a technical called on him. I'd be fine with DA getting a technical for setting a really hard pick and just setting the tone. It's the we will not back down from you. We do not care if you try to irritate us. We will hit you just as hard back.
That's Sparta.
Yeah, exactly.
The master foul baiter brought to you by Manscaped.
Our mood is so much better now. Remember how we started this pod and now
that's
we just
why we
great.
Do this. We come that's together. Why, yeah. We come therapy together.
If you're a master foul baiter and need to make things smell or feel better,
don't use a clipper.
No, we're not talking clippers until this series is over with Manscaped.
By the way,
we got lotions, potions,
well, that's
and
right.
trim.
Are we talking scissors. Yeah, scissors, right?
I will say, potions and scissors. I listened to the podcast earlier today. I'm with Saul. I didn't receive scissors either, Espo. How did you
Thank
get the scissors?
You. Yeah, you got these special golden.
Awesome. That's what happens. Manscaped just said, you know what? You do those reads so well. We're going to give you these special scissors.
Yeah. So. It's probably because I don't do any of the reads. And for that, I'm sorry. So if you want to, go to Manscaped and use code SUNSJAM. Not solar jam or whatever, solar panel.
Use flaming
baller. Yeah. Save yourself 20% on Manscaped products.
Or Suns Jam. It's only six letters. Nice. Easy for you. Easy for me. Easy for your balls.
Or you could just use bleach and it works the exact same. Or you could just
Jam star of the game.
Oh, I
it's
love
Matthew
you guys.
Lissy for whatever the hell he just said.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a reminder to everybody who is watching along live to please subscribe. Please hit the thumbs up button. And if you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun podcast network, please subscribe, rate, and review as well. If you're watching along live, let us know who your jam star of the game is. Bleach. That's what a lot of people are getting. Bleach.
Yeah, don't,
bleach balls.
Don't do that, guys.
Don't use bleach.
Bleach balls. Yeah.
Isn't Suns Jam seven letters? Yes. It's seven letters. I said six.
We can't count. We can't groom properly. We got nothing going.
We got nothing. But going around the room here, who wants to start? Who's your jam? Star of the game.
Jam. I'm going to go with Cam again.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Cam again. You know, you kind of expect 18-9 from DA at a minimum now, so I'm good with DA. I'm going to give it to Cam again because, hey, he's had his best series of the three so far, of the three series so far. He's played his best in this series, and I expect him to continue, and he's been good.
Paul in the chat says Lissy's mom.
That's my brother, Paul. Come on, Paul. You're better
than
that.
She's hoping to become the
champ. You're not invited over for Thanksgiving.
Lissy's mom has got it going.
That's my mother-in-law, Paul. You can't come over for Thanksgiving.
Hey, John, there's a t-shirt. Start making t-shirts about my mom.
Lissy's mom.
Yeah. What's great is Lissy's dad loves watching this show. So sorry.
Oh, geez. Wow. Okay. Hey, so I'm going to say
Filthy
the
old man.
Star of the game is Jalen Smith for getting off the bench in the Western Conference Finals.
Sticks get some love.
That's how bad they played. They all played so bad that we got to give it to Jalen Smith for getting off the bench. And he got a rebound in there, too, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. Finally he got a did rebound.
It. Espo, good who do you him. Have?
Plus two for the game, by the way.
Plus nobody, two for the game.
Nobody deserves the jam star. It was that kind of game. Look, nobody does. Us for watching that game. That's who deserves the jam star. Is slogging through that game. The fans deserve it for watching that.
All right, what do you got, Lissy?
I got Cam Johnson. His comfortability on the floor, especially in the Western Conference Finals, he's not very shy, and I love that. And I think he's doing a lot in the paint. He's doing just a lot more that we didn't really see during the season consistently, but he's doing it during the Western Conference Finals, so that earns him the jam star tonight and a loss.
I feel like a Cam jam is coming. Like, can't you feel it? Like,
yes.
It's going to happen in this series, I feel like, and then we're all going to lose it.
Yeah.
I have nobody for my jam. Like, I don't know either. Like, yeah, Cam Johnson is the obvious pick because he's the only one who I felt did something positive. DA was fantastic when they fed him the ball. You know, continuing to see him play at the level that he is great. But again, he wasn't having a good, you know, night on the box or down on the blocks against Ivica Zubac or Zubac. And I think that was a big part of this game. You know, as you mentioned, Zubac came out physical. And DA didn't match his physicality, which we don't always expect from DA. He's more of a finesse player. So he let him kind of get some of those offensive rebounds. And the Clippers, I'll tell you this, they're a team that if they get an offensive rebound, they're hitting a three. Best three-point shooting team in the league. They get those offensive rebounds, it's going around the court, and somebody's going to get a wide-open three. And that's just what happens. And that's why you can't let that happen. And that's been a great adjustment by them is like, listen, we're not going to play the five out. We have to have somebody who can be physical down on the blocks. And, you know, Zubac really did that to set the tone tonight. So that's, I guess, the, I don't know. I'm with Espo. Like, it's got to be us. Don't wear the orange jerseys again. They look bad.
They're wearing them every road game.
Which is stupid. Yeah. We need that purple.
Yeah,
we need the purples.
Why did they let the players? If they're wearing black, you can't wear purple.
Oh, yeah, true.
Well, that's true. Somebody in the chat, Chris, says Scott Foster's Essence, which is the worst cologne ever. If you were wondering, Scott Foster's Essence.
It smells like Black Panther. It's like Black Panther sweat.
Yeah, 60% of the time, the Suns get screwed every time.
Every time, yep. Yeah.
Look, I think it's the fans also because we no longer have to hear the Suns in four crap because it can't happen this series. So we can put that to bed. Yay. So that's a win as well this evening. So,
hey, let me ask you guys. Yeah, I got a final thought. How many the Suns are the kings of the mid range, right? Would you guys agree that the Suns have the best mid range shooting team in the league?
Yes, they are the monsters of the mid range. That is correct.
Yeah. How many points do you think they had in the mid-range tonight?
Oh, geez, like 10?
12.
Yeah. I would say 18.
32.
Eight points in the mid-range. That's all you got to take away from this game. The Suns are going to get back to playing their game, and nobody in the league can stop them. The Clippers weren't even trying to stop the mid-range. It's just the Suns couldn't hit anything.
Dave, I want to know for Saturday if that is the lowest point total for mid-range they've had this season.
That's a good question.
It's gotta be close.
It's gotta be close because that's terrible.
Yeah, not good.
And they've only made 16 threes in the last two games combined, the Suns, which is also incredibly low. So I feel like we're about to see an offensive explosion. Is it game four, game five? We don't know. The Clippers defense is not that good. They're really reckless in their defense because they don't have a great defense. They didn't have a great defense at all this season. So I think the Suns are going to have a breakout game really soon.
Yeah, well, look, go ahead, Espo.
I was just going to say, look, for me, the final thought is, as Suns fans, don't give into that natural instinct of being defeatist and acting as if everything is coming to an end because of this. I mean, that, you know, people will be like, oh, we're still cursed because Devin and Cam's ankle. Just don't go there.
Nope.
The things are still good here. This is one speed bump. It's one game. I mean, we thought the same thing in the Lakers series. We know how that turned out. Keep the faith. That's my final thought.
And Dave, just so you know, to kind of follow up on a point there, the Clippers had the fourth best opposing points per game this season and the eighth best defensive rating. So they are a top 10 defense. Yeah. But I mean, it's been Patrick Beverly starting is that adjustment. That's really what's kind of thrown things out of whack. And kind of to both of your points, we were asking for the same thing of these Suns after those two losses against the Lakers. We knew an offensive explosion was coming, and that's what eventually happened. And especially in game, you know, once we hit game four, game five, game six, they remembered how to hit threes again. And it's going to happen. This team knows how to do it. They get a lot of open shots. That'll be the fun thing to look at the advanced stats in the morning, is to see how many shots were actually wide open for the Suns, because they had a lot of them. The corner threes for Devin Booker, the mid-range shots, they were all there. They just weren't knocking them down tonight. Like I said, it was a weird feel to the game. We all felt it. Something was just, whether it be the referees or some of those missed early shots that just weren't going down, it felt weird. Even going into halftime, being up two, it's like, we shouldn't be up two.
Yeah,
we played a lot worse.
I couldn't believe the Suns had a 2-point lead after that first half.
Yeah, it was really just a strange feel of the game, and that's okay. Guess what, Suns fans? Winning is hard in the NBA, especially in the Western Conference Finals. You're not going to win every game. The goal: come out and win tomorrow, and by tomorrow I mean Saturday. And if we don't win, then win Game Five at home with that raucous, crazy crowd. We have home court advantage for a reason. You're going to need it. I said at the beginning of the series, this is going to be a tough series. Winning those first two games without CP3 was fantastic. It's how you want to start the series. But every game is its own entity. We'll look back at this one as the one where Devin Booker and Chris Paul just couldn't shoot. And our guard play was piss poor. And our mid-range shooting was piss poor. And there were some bad calls. Yeah, but I mean, welcome to the NBA. So,
yeah, I mean, look, if they win game five, they win game seven, no matter what happens in LA, they win the series. That's still what it comes down to. So,
Matthew, final thoughts?
Stay no one better. Thank you very much for that big donation. I appreciate it. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
I don't know if I even see it. I was sorry, Matt, talking. Ahead. There you go.
No, it's okay.
Rally the belly with a chick named Sally.
God bless you. The Patrick Beverly thing's going to go away. It's last series. I think his coach was hoping he would foul out of games, right? So they didn't have to play him. He's not going to consistently be this way, so I'm not worried about that. Booker said very positive energy in the locker room, so that's good to hear. You know that's going to be something that's always going to happen, whether they win or lose. I honestly think that the energy they're going to have next game, they're going to come back. They're going to win this in five, and I'm not too scared of the Paul George and the Clippers.
I mean, let's be real. Like, if you're the Suns, if you're CP3, if you're Devin Booker, You walk into that locker room like, man, did we just crap ourselves? Oh well,
yeah.
Like, time to move on. Right. Like, and that's what I firmly believe that they will play their best game in game four. They've proven that basically all year long. Every time they've had a stinker like this, they've always bounced back. That's why they didn't lose back to back games for quite a while this season. So I expect them to come back strong in game four. And even if they don't win game four, I think they're going to play remarkably better and set themselves up for a game five, which I expect them to win. So,
any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, can I do the Lissy thing tonight?
Yes. Get Lissy with it. All
right. Go home and bleach your family. That's what it is.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Wow.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining.
Before we go, though, for anybody out there, I think Espo's boy is doing a caravan out there LA. Espo, you want to plug that?
Yeah, Tyler with the Bird Gang Travel Group. He's heading up a bus out to LA for game 4. Check it out. Highly recommend it. So I think you can hit up his social, Bird Gang Travel Club, and check it out. It's going to be fun. I get it. It'd be much more fun if they were going for a sweep. But the Suns could use your support in LA too. And so head out there. Good cause, good fun for everybody. It's basically a party bus. You'll be able to drink away your sorrows from game 3 and get ready for game 4 on the way to LA.
Jesus, so, that's a 6-hour drive. You're going to be fucking faded by the time you get there.
Exactly.
Dude,
hey, John,
you can watch the stream in the morning and then jump on the bus and go to LA. Let's go.
There you go. Boom. Hey, John, several people have asked where to get the shirt you're wearing.
Oh, yeah. So this is Craig A. Hamill. And if you look behind Dave, he's got the same print up on the wall. Yep. Craig A. Hamill on Twitter. Check him out.
And he also has a Western Conference Finals version available now. So, yeah, Craig A. Hamill on Twitter. That'll give you the link to his T-shirt site.
His Redbubble page,
where you can get actually that print in just about anything you want it on. It's got a Western Conference Finals version that has campaign in it too.
Yeah. And if we're going to shamelessly plug things, go to shirts.solarpanelpod.com and get your Armani mode shirt
Armani
as well.
Armani mode, baby.
All right, sweet.
Well, and if we're going to keep shamelessly plugging shirts,
I love plugging shit.
We got the Valley Oop shirt on brightsideofthesun.com.
Hey,
custom.
And there's also the Valley Oop shirt that I designed in January. Check out the Suns Jam Session Redbubble page because we got all kinds of shit. We got a shirt with Booker's bloody face on it after game 2. So, I mean, we got shirts everywhere. If you like shirts, we got shirts.
Steve Nash's face, I want to have one with Booker and Nash next.
I'll make it specifically for you. I'll make it specifically for you.
And if you want to know somebody that's wasting a lot of money, Saul's going to be losing a lot of money to EJ on the golf course tomorrow. So you can hear all about it Saturday morning on the solar panel. So.
Nice. Where are we watching game 4?
You need a caddy?
No, bro. I'm my own caddy. Come on now.
Yeah, he's got to go. He wanders off into the desert alone thinking about where his ball is.
I have a bad back anyways.
Where are we watching game 4?
I don't know. Hooters with the fellas?
Hooters with the fellas is not a bad idea. I think Matthew and I are going to watch it at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on the 101 and Ray.
Hey, whoever out there wants to join those guys, get out there. Cold beers.
Come by, say hi, or don't say hi to us. Just like look at us from afar.
Matthew
doesn't like talking to people.
Look weirdly at them.
Yeah.
From afar.
Yeah. So
but don't talk to them.
On
if they
that
come
note,
near
I can't
you,
believe,
walk away.
I can't believe we made it this long. Enjoy everyone who's listening. Like, I hope you enjoy this. Everyone who's watching this, I hope you enjoy this. Yeah. You know, I think that the last time we all got together after a playoff loss was after the Lakers, obviously. Did the whole LeBron, Andre Drummond thing. And the same thing happened. We leave this little podcast feeling better about what's going on. It's good to get together with Suns fans and kind of talk it out instead of being frustrated in your brother-in-law's room with a fan behind you and all the memories on the wall behind him, like Matthew's doing right now. So yeah, see, Dave, just look where Matthew's at. He's in my room right now.
I'm halfway in the bathroom.
How would I know he's in your room?
Jesus. Yeah, I'm like, because I told you.
I haven't been allowed in here last time, right, John?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to be in here with you and your wife. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's your sister. Why do we always forget that? It's your sister, Lissy. God.
Thank you, everybody, for joining the podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, hit the thumbs up. We're out of here.